Well, we're in our second week in our series, Hashtag. Last week, we were beginning this new series talking about how hashtags symbolize kind of the labels that we put on ourselves. And I'm excited to kind of go into what God has brought to us this week. Now, gift giving can be really fun. I've really started to get into giving gifts, especially now that I have kids. I think Christmas is one of my favorite times of year. And most of it comes from just the sense of awe or just the season that brings about this feeling whenever Christmas time rolls around. And so it just kind of makes me feel joyous just to be in that time and to know the different things that are going to be taking place. And so as I've gotten to have my own family and have children and see kind of what comes alive in them during Christmas, it makes giving gifts even that much more special. But some of you in here are probably like me. I'm kind of a procrastinator. You know, maybe you're not like me, but I am a procrastinator. And so when it comes to Christmas time and getting the gifts out, I usually wait to like the very last second, the day before Christmas, before we celebrate, to get the gifts out and get them wrapped and get them prepared for our kids, you know, to wake up the next morning and be all surprised that there's stuff under the tree. But when it comes to wrapping gifts in my home, my wife and I have completely different understandings on how this should be done. See, for me, whenever I get the gifts out, I'm just like, get the thing covered. Right? It doesn't matter how much paper, how much tape I use. It's just going to be torn apart, ripped to shreds the next morning. So who really cares what the thing looks like? Just get it covered and put under the tree, and we're all good. No, my wife, she's not a procrastinator really at all, and she's actually more of a perfectionist. And so, you know, God bless her. She, you know, he paired her up with probably one of the most aggravating people he could. But when it comes to the wrapping of the gifts, she has got her idea of how this should be done. See, for Tony, every crease has to be just perfectly straight. There cannot be any seams made visible. You can't use too much paper. You cannot use too much tape. I mean, and everything just has to be just right. And so every Christmas season, I get this lesson on how to properly wrap a gift. And I think maybe by the time we have our 50th anniversary, it might sink in. You know, but you know, this is just the way it is. But Christmas time, even though as special as it is, and as cool as gift giving is, and seeing that light just sparkle in your kids' eyes whenever they open the gift, there's something that really annoys the snot out of me when it comes to the gifts. And it's not really the way in which I'm instructed to wrap a present. You see, before we can even wrap a gift properly, we have to prepare the gift, which means we have to take the labels off of the gift, all the price tags. I don't know who started that trend that it's somewhat disrespectful or that people shouldn't know how much you paid for the gift and so you have to remove all the labels, but whoever that was ought to be shot. Because nothing drives me crazy more than having to prepare the gift to be wrapped. And you know what I'm talking about. You go to remove that label, and you're ever so careful to peel the corner off just to make sure that you can get the whole thing started. And then you try to gently remove that label, but then the thing tears in half. It breaks on you. And it doesn't tear the way you think it should, where, you know, it would leave half the label left on the package. No. You go ahead and tear the whole thing off, and what's left is the sticky back of the price tag left on the gift. I mean, those price tags are so stinking thin, you would think it'd be impossible to split like that in half, but they do. And so you end up having to remove the price tag twice. And you have to get something to scrape that residue off or get a rag, a wet rag, and kind of rub it off. And to take off the residue or take the sticky label off the second time is actually harder the second time around than it is the first time around. But nonetheless, you have to do this before the gift is ready to be wrapped and given. And in this new series, as we've been talking about hashtags and how it represents how we label ourselves. See, the way we label ourselves, the things we choose to believe about ourselves, will affect our whole perception of life. It affects the way we view who we are as a person. And when we allow negative hashtags or negative labels to define us, especially labels of the enemy, labels of Satan who wants to bring us to our destruction, it will cause us to be robbed of our joy and what Christ came to give us, which was an ever-abundant life. And so, you know, as we're looking at hashtags, we discovered last week that our hashtags will either make us or break us. It will either help us or harm us. And so we have to fight against those negative hashtags as we are trying to live a successful Christian life. And so we discovered that in order to combat against the enemy and to work against those negative hashtags, we have to guard our minds so that we can rescue our hearts from those negative hashtags. But just like a gift, we have to remove that label from the gift. We have to also remove these hashtags from our lives. And oftentimes, though we're set free from those labels in Christ, there is a residue or there is a sticky backing left on our hearts from that hashtag. And though I know many of you were here last week and we had a great time talking about the truth of God's word as compared to what the enemy speaks to us. And I know many of you left here set free from what's been holding you back for so long. But I would bet money that that negative hashtag you felt freedom from last week came up again this week. That there was something that happened, there was some thought, there was some circumstance where that sticky residue, that residual effect of that negative hashtag surfaced again in your life. And so today, we're going to talk about how we can scrub the residue off of our hearts to finally begin breaking free once and for all of these negative hashtags that have held us back for so long, to take back the ground that we have surrendered to the enemy. And so before we get into the message, I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask God that his spirit would be present here and that he would really do a work in all of our hearts and lives. Let's pray. Father God, again, we submit ourselves to you and your word. Thank you for the scripture. There is so much power in your word, God. And the enemy tries to fool us and convince us that we have nothing to stand against him with, God. But you have given us your word. You've given us victory in Jesus' name. And God, we hold on to and claim that right here and right now. God, I pray for every heart in this room, that every heart would be open to your voice and to your spirit. God, that everyone would encounter you, that you would do a work in our hearts and lives, God, that we would not close our ears to the message that you have for us today, and that if there's somebody here that doesn't know you as their Savior, God, that has never been set free from their sin and has been set free from the bondage of the enemy, God, that they would claim you as their Lord and Savior and truly have victory in their spirit today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we get into this message today, we need to start off by looking at the fact that words have power. Words, and we don't often think about this. Words have power. See, a hashtag, it's comprised of words. It's comprised of things, the words that are joined together to mean something. Words have power. And so the labels that we take for ourselves, the labels that bind us down oftentimes, these negative hashtags, they're comprised of words. They mean something to us. And we don't really realize the power that words have. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1 and you see in the beginning there was only God. God spoke and creation came into existence. So God created all that there is through words. And Jesus in the Gospel of John chapter 1, he's referred to as the very Word of God, that through Jesus as the Word, God created all that there is. And so this understanding of God using words to create and using words to wield his power, it goes all the way through Scripture. And we have been created in God's image. And though we may not be able to speak anything into existence like creation, God has still put within the creation order words to have a powerful effect in our lives. And if we look at our key verse today, it's found in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. If you have the Bible with you, I'd invite you to turn there, Proverbs 18, 21. If not, the words will be on the screen. But God, in Proverbs 18, 21, this is what he records. It says, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. See, we have good consequences and we have negative consequences. And the words that we use, the very words we speak, can either bring death or life, good consequences or negative consequences in our lives. Words have incredible power over us, and not just over our lives, but over the lives of those who are around us. Now, many of you growing up have heard this phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's probably one of the single greatest lies that parents have ever told their children. And why do we do that? We tell them that so that they don't continue to feel bad about themselves, to kind of help them kind of stand up or be strong against what people say. But it's a lie. Words hurt. When you're a young child and someone says something about you that's critical or talks bad about you, that stings down to the core of who you are. And oftentimes, it's in those moments as a young child when you start receiving those criticisms that those negative hashtags begin to develop in your life. The words that people say to us and the words you say to others have a dramatic effect on who they are. It's kind of funny right now. Geico, the insurance company, is kind of running an ad right now that speaks of this. You know, they're always, you know, talking and how they're, you know, insinuating that they can save 15% or more on car insurance. And the latest one, there are two people talking there, and she says to the guy, you know, do you know you can save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico? And he responds, well, did you know words really do hurt you? And then it pans to this cowboy, and he's getting on his horse, and his girlfriend is saying, no, don't leave, don't leave. And he's like, well, I'm a loner, and loners got to be alone. And so he rides off into the sunset, and you see these big letters, the end, on the screen, and he somehow biffs himself, smacks his head on the D of end, and falls off his horse, and she's kind of looking at him funny, and it's kind of a funny commercial, but it's true. Words have an effect, and words, even though we don't realize it, can deeply harm us. If you're a parent here today, what words are you speaking over your children? What are you speaking into their lives? You know, what words are you talking over your children? What kind of, you know, words are you encouraging or discouraging them with? Because the words you speak over your children will determine what hashtags they wear and what kind of people they turn out to be and what kind of decisions they decide to make later in their life. Think about yourself as a child and the way your parents spoke to you. Whenever your parents said something positive to you, you felt like you were Superman and could conquer the world. There was nothing you couldn't accomplish because you had the blessing or encouragement of your parents. But when they said something negative, you felt like the greatest failure on the planet. The words that those closest to us speak into our lives have a dramatic effect on who we are. And we see this as with our relationship with our parents. And we're doing the same as we're turning around and speaking into our children's lives. But it's not just important that we guard and we analyze what we speak into others. It's also important that we analyze what we speak to ourselves. So the question is today, why are words so important? It's because what you confess will determine what has power over you. What you speak, what you confess, will determine what has power over you. If you agree with the hashtags of the enemy, those negative things that we store up in our hearts, the things that the enemy would have us to believe, if you agree with his hashtags, you will confess that in your speech. You will speak to those things. What you believe at your core will come out in your conversation. And we need to understand here today that there is a difference between humility and believing the lie of the enemy. See, humility is still confident in who God has made you to be, but you don't puff yourself up with criticism and you don't take offense to negative criticism, but everything that you are is given, you give credit to the glory of God. That whenever something negative is said about you, you realize who you are in Christ and you claim the truth of God and you don't get offended at the negative comments. But whenever something good about you is said, you don't take the credit for that either. You give that glory to God. That's humility. When you believe the lie of the enemy and something positive is said about you, you don't give credit to God. You don't take credit. You end up believing and speaking to the lie of the enemy and tear yourself down. And then when something negative is said about you, you don't go to find the truth of God and find comfort in that. You agree with that and continue to think that the lie is who you really are. There's a difference between humility and believing the lie. This plays out a lot in our church. As leaders, when we approach people to fill volunteer positions or to step up in leadership, do you think that when we ask you to fill a volunteer position, that's actually something that we think you can do? Well, I would say yes. You know, when we ask people to fill a volunteer positions, oftentimes we get responses that don't agree with who they are in Christ. They agree with the negative hashtags that they've believed for far too long. We get hashtags like, I'm hashtag not good enough for that. Or I'm hashtag not talented enough for that. Or I'm hashtag fill in the blank. And we get these excuses and these reasons as to why people aren't confident to step up and fill positions that we as leaders are asking them to fill. And as leaders, we wouldn't ask you to do something we didn't believe that God had empowered you to do. And so whenever you respond to circumstances and opportunities in a negative way, thinking you can't do this, you're not capable, you're not equipped, that's revealing that deep down inside, you're not believing who you are in Christ and what he's gifted you to do. You're believing the lie of the enemy. And so we need to really think about what is going on deep in our hearts and how we speak. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, he says, what you say flows from what is in your heart. Everything comes from your heart. This is where it flows from. So if my heart is the source of what I confess, then a question needs to be, how do I change what is in my heart so that I can confess the right thing, so I can confess the truth of God? And the answer is, you have to choose to change what you confess. And you might be like, wait a minute. If what I confess comes from my heart, how can I choose to change it? Doesn't my heart need to change first? Well, I'm glad you asked, because we're going to find how this plays out in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Paul is writing to the church of Rome in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Here's what he says. He says, if you openly declare, well, this is confess, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring or confessing that by faith that you are saved. So here he starts off this passage talking about salvation. He's saying you have to choose to change your confession. See, before we become a child of God, if you're here today and you call yourself a Christian, you believe in Jesus Christ, before you became a Christian or a believer, the Bible says that you are a slave to sin, that you are a slave to the enemy. So your confession before coming to Christ was that Satan was Lord, or my flesh or sin was Lord. And here Paul is saying that if you want to be saved, you have to change your confession from that my flesh or sin is my Lord to Jesus Christ is my Lord. This is a decision that you have to make. But notice here, right after he says confess, what's tied to that is also believe in your heart. The believe comes after. And see, this is kind of backwards in my thinking. I would think that if everything that I say flows from my heart, I would need to believe first. That it should be believe in your heart that Christ is Lord, believe in your heart that he is raised from the dead, and then confess it, and then you'd be saved. But Paul doesn't list it in that order. He says confess and then believe. Confess and then believe. See, when you openly declare the truth of God, you speak it into existence and with your mouth, it begins to have an effect on your heart. And we see this in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. God, through the prophet of Isaiah, he says, it is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. King James says it never returns void. It says it will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. You see, when God's word is declared, when God's word is spoken, it has an effect. And so before we can receive Christ, before we can get to that place, we truly have faith. We have to speak the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And as we speak that truth, it trickles down and does a work in our heart as we believe in his resurrection. And that's when salvation comes. You see, and so the way we get our heart to get in line with the truth of God so that we can speak the truth is we choose to change what we speak, and we choose to speak the truth. The more we openly declare and confess the truth, the more effect that it has on our hearts. See, it's like that story, The Little Engine That Could. I love this story because there's so many applications to it. But see, that little engine, it was loaded down with a weight. And it was facing this great mountain, this great hill for it to climb. And as it was looking at this mountain, it was weary. The little engine didn't know how it was going to make the climb. But what did he do? He changed his confession from "I can't" to "I think I can." And he began speaking it out loud to himself. "I think I can. I think I can." And as he was speaking those words, "I think I can," the steam began to blow and his tracks began to move. And he began to inch his way up the mountain. And he kept chanting it over and over and over again. "I think I can. I think I can." And as he was speaking those words out loud, kind of building himself up, hope began to rise up in his heart. And as hope began to rise in his heart, he climbed higher and higher and higher up the mountain until he reached the top. And when he reached the mountaintop, he changed from "I think I can" to "I knew I could. I knew I could." He knew it because he spoke and his confession drove his heart to come in line to what the truth really was. See, he was able to make the climb all along. He was able to get up there all along. And until he changed his confession, his heart didn't follow his words. And some of you here today, you've been carrying those negative hashtags in your heart for so long. And you know it's a lie. You know it's a lie from Satan. You know your faith in Christ has set you free, but those residual effects are still weighing you down. They're still weighing you down. See, you may be discouraged by your hashtag. You may be defeated or feel defeated by your hashtag. You may struggle with faith and hope because of your negative hashtag. But I'm here to tell you today that if you change your confession from the negative hashtag you've been carrying to the hashtag you've received in Jesus Christ, you're going to see some movement happen in your spiritual life. You're going to see the steam of your spirit begin to blow. You're going to see hope begin to rise within inside of you. And you're going to start making that climb to victory over and over and over again. You're going to gain momentum in your spiritual life. And soon you'll be able to look down and you will have left the valley where you've been held for so long, captive by the enemy, and you'll be on the mountaintop with the glory of the Lord our Father and God. You're going to watch your spirit be set free once and for all. You see, the enemy, when he starts speaking that lie, if you start speaking the truth and continue to make that confession, your heart will begin to believe what you openly declare. And what has been holding you back for far too long will be broken once and for all, and you'll finally experience that freedom and joy that Christ died for you to experience. The core concept of this message today is that if you change your confession, you will change your life. If you change your confession, you will change your life. And in James chapter 3, verse 2, the Apostle James, he speaks of the power of words and of what we say. He says, "Indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in any other way." You see, James is saying that if we could control perfectly what we say, we could reach perfection here on earth, that we could truly determine the course of our lives for the glory of God. And see, this is why it's so important to watch what we say and to know what we speak, because it has a dramatic effect on our lives. So in order to change your confession, you have to change what you speak. But to change what you speak, you have to change what you think, because your words begin with a thought. Everyone in here, repeat after me. Speaking starts with thinking. Say it again. Speaking starts with thinking, right? So the question that I have for you are, what are your influences? What is influencing your mind? What messages are you feeding your mind? What images are you exposing yourself to that affect how you view yourself? What people do you allow in your life to speak into your life that affect the thoughts that you have? See, Paul writes to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. He's giving some final instructions, some of the most important instructions he could give the church. And here's what he says. He says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. See, what you think is a choice, and what you speak is a choice. When you're not choosing your thoughts, when you're not choosing your words, what comes out is what is deep down in the depth of your heart. And so here Paul is saying, be conscious of what you're thinking and be conscious of how you're speaking. So when the enemy puts those intrusive thoughts in your mind, like when you wake up in the morning, ladies, and you don't have your makeup on and you're there in the mirror in all your glory, and you're not happy with what you see, and all of a sudden you hear that hashtag ugly come into your mind, and then you look over where all the magazines are and you see the Cosmopolitan magazine and maybe your husband's Maxim magazine, and you see the women that are on display there, and you know that they're computer enhanced, so they're not even real, but you look at them and you think, I don't compare to what I see. And those negative hashtags begin to attack your heart and to rob you of your joy and get you to have this perception about yourself that is not true according to the Word of God. You need to choose what you think in that moment. And men, when you make a mistake, you forget the 15,000 thing that your wife asked you to remember, and she comes down on you hard and you feel like, man, I'm just such a hashtag screw up. Or you're at work and you've let your boss down for the 15th time and you're afraid of losing your job and you think, man, I'm hashtag not going to get anything right. I'm going to fail my family. See, it's in these moments that the war is taking place, the battle for our minds. And you have to ask yourself this question, am I going to entertain those thoughts or am I going to fight those thoughts? See, what we choose to think about, what we choose to dwell on, is a choice. And when those intrusive thoughts come, you need to recognize where they come from. They don't come from the Holy Spirit of God. The scripture says that the Spirit tells us of what he's heard from on high. He tells us or reveals to us the truth of God. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Guys, you're not a failure if you're following Christ. You're not a failure. You are an overcomer. You are a provider. You are who God has intended and created you to be. Ladies, you're not ugly when you look in the mirror. You are a precious jewel that is created in the image of God, who God built in your mother's womb perfectly just the way you are. And you are more beautiful than you can imagine inside and out. God, you know, the truth of who we are in Christ will always come against the lies of the enemy. And we have to choose when those intrusive thoughts, those negative hashtags come at us, to fight back by rejecting those thoughts and openly confessing audibly the word of God back to the enemy. See, this is how Jesus fought. Before Jesus started his ministry, after he was baptized, he was led into the desert by the Spirit. And for 40 days as he fasted, his body became weak and the enemy came after him. And every time the enemy tempted Christ, he was doing it in order to get Christ to give all authority over to Satan. He was trying to gain the authority of all creation by tempting Christ. And every temptation Satan threw at Jesus, Jesus responded by speaking scripture to the enemy. He quoted, he confessed, he openly declared the word of God, and every lie was combated with the scriptures and with the truth. And when the enemy realized that every time that Jesus came back with the truth, he knew he had no weapon he could form against the Savior. He knew that there was nothing that could be done to gain that authority, and Satan ran like a little girl away from a fight. Hallelujah. Because Jesus was wielding the weapon of the word of God. Amen. And see, this is our weapon of warfare. This is our weapon that we are given to wield against the enemy. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, it says, put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hallelujah. Our weapon to fight the spiritual war is the word of God. And speaking the truth is how we fight against the enemy. It's how we fight against his attacks. It's how we turn the fight around and drive him away. It's by choosing to fix our minds on what is true. And when those lies of the enemy come, and they seem louder than all the other voices in our head, and it seems so loud that we doesn't even think we can win, if we choose to speak the truth, to declare the word of God, we will have the power to win the war of our minds. Because the enemy will have no choice but to run from us. And see, this is how we rid ourselves of that residue that's left in our spirit. We recognize we're broken free from those negative hashtags, but to get rid of that residue, the lingering effects of what the enemy has done in our lives, it's by continuing to proclaim the truth over and over and over again. You see, I might wash off the residue of that price tag on that gift with a wet rag and water, or I might scrape it off with a knife. But Jesus is washing our hashtags another way. In Ephesians 5, 25 and 26, it says, "For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave his life up for her, to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word." See, this is one of the reasons why our core value is unyielding truth, because there's so much power in the word of God. And our hearts are cleansed by the word. And it's just a beautiful thing. And so this is oftentimes what happens when we struggle in our spiritual lives, and we get out and disconnected from God's word. But here Jesus is saying the method that he's using to cleanse our spirit once and for all, to set us free the way he intended, is by washing us with his word. And we're using that illustration of the price tag. I mean, this is so beautiful. Because he's saying that in Ephesians 5, he's referring to the church like a bride. And he's saying he gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. See, I might use that rag to clean that price tag, but Jesus himself is preparing another gift to be given. I prepare a gift by removing the tags and prepare it to be wrapped to be given to my kids. Jesus is preparing us as a gift, and we see who the gift is for in Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 and 9. It says, "Let us be glad and rejoice. Let us give honor to him, for the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear, for the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. And the angel said to me, 'Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb.' And he added that these are the true words that come from God." So why is Jesus washing us with the word? Because we are the gift he's preparing for himself. We are the gift that he's preparing to give himself on that heavenly wedding day, where he and the church will be united in eternal relationship once and for all. You see, he paid for us with his blood, and now he's preparing us by washing us with the truth, with the word of God, now into the day we stand before him. You see, if we don't change our confession, we'll be held in spiritual bondage. We'll be held in what the enemy wants to do in our lives. But when we change our confession to the truth of God, it allows Jesus Christ to start washing our spirit, to start washing and breaking us free from all of those things, so that once and for all we can live that victorious life he came to give us. So change your confession, you will change your life. So my question to you today is, what have you been confessing? What are you declaring in your life? Is it the truth, or is it the lies from the enemy? See, maybe there's someone here today and you believe that you're okay spiritually. You're okay. That you're a good person at heart, and that if you were to die today and stand before God, you'd be led into heaven because ultimately you're not as bad as some other people are. That you're really a good person at heart. See, that's a lie from Satan too. That's a lie from the enemy too. Scripture says that we're all sinners, that we're all separated from God, and that without being saved or having that forgiveness of our sins, none of us get to have heaven, no matter how good we think we are. But the good news is that forgiveness is offered. Forgiveness is available if you change your confession. And it's changing your confession from "I'm hashtag good enough" to hashtag "Jesus is Lord." Changing your confession. Someone here today, who maybe you're in this room or maybe you're listening online through our podcast, you need to change your confession to the most important confession of your life today.
and you need to openly declare Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and let that confession move in your heart to believe that he lived a sinless life, that he died on the cross for your sins, spilling out his blood. He was buried and 3 days later came victoriously from the grave. And as you believe and as you confess, the word of God says you will be changed. You'll be transformed. You become a new creation and that you will have a home in heaven one day. See, today can be the day that your life changes. Today you can experience the love and kindness of God as you start a relationship with him and he forgives your sins and sends you his spirit to take residence in your heart. So how you confess is what you speak, and how you speak is through prayer. And so today I'm going to challenge you to pray, to call out to God and change your confession and invite him to do a work in your life by receiving him as your Lord and Savior. And so in just a moment, we're going to pray. If we could have every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around in this room this morning. As we go into our time of response to the Lord. If that's you here today, if you need to make that confession once and for all, you realize that you've been living a life on your own, by your own power, by your own strength, that you've really not been dependent on anyone else but yourself. And you've been holding on to that lie that you're good enough and that you'll just make it in there one way or another. Today, through the truth of the Word of God, I'm going to invite you to let your heart come in line with God's Word and to make a confession that will change you forever. Right here in this moment, if you need to confess, if you know you've never confessed Christ as your Lord and Savior, right here and right now, you can do that. The scripture says in Romans 10 that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so in this moment, you can call on him. You can do so just by repeating this prayer after me. It's not anything in this prayer that's magical, but it's your confession and your belief in your heart that the scripture says will bring salvation into your life. And so right here and right now, you confess with me. Say this. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I recognize that now. And my sin has been separated from you, separated me from you. Lord, forgive me. I place my hope and trust in the truth. I place my hope and trust in Jesus Christ. He now is my Lord and Savior. And I publicly proclaim that today. Take me, Lord. I am yours. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. If you made that confession today, if you declared Christ to be your Lord and your Savior, would you allow me to pray for you just by slipping your hand up, just saying, Joey, I began that relationship with Christ today. I made that confession. Pray for me as I begin this relationship with Christ. Thank you. Lord, I pray for those in this room that are wrestling with changing their confession and claiming you as Lord. God, that your spirit would work mighty in their hearts and that you would draw them close to yourself. God, I know that the enemy doesn't want us to break free from his grasp and from the strongholds that he has in our lives. And so, God, I just pray that today would be the day, whether here or later, that those that know that they need to begin a relationship with you, God, would start by confessing you as the Lord and Savior. If you're his child, you know you believe. You know you've been saved. And you've been battling against these negative hashtags. And you know you're set free, but that residue and just keeps popping back up in your life. And that battle continues to leave you tired and weak. And encourage you today to renew your strength. Let the word of God wash off the grime in your heart and begin to wash you and set you free from that hashtag. So I'm going to invite everyone in the room today to repeat this prayer after me as we as a church publicly change our confession to come in line with God's word and to proclaim him as the one who gives us the victory. So together as a church, let's pray this together. Lord, I've been fighting without a weapon. I've been allowing the enemy to label me. I've been buying what he was selling. But no more today. I'm submitting myself to you, Jesus. I'm placing my identity in you, Lord. I'm choosing to believe what you say about me. When the enemy speaks, I will fight with your words. When he lies, I will confess the truth. And I will declare each day that I am defined by the one who made me and saved me and claimed me as his own. Please give me the strength to run to you when I am weak, to speak when I have no strength, to trust when things are scary, to believe so that when my heart speaks, it will confess the truth, and that my words will breathe life to my heart and bring life to others. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. And everyone in the room said, amen. I pray that God begins and continues to do a work in your life, that today, each day, we wake up confessing the truth, that you don't let the enemy speak into your life, but you counter him with God's word, and that you begin to fight victoriously in your lives. So let's stand together as we go into a time of worship in response to the Lord, and we're going to declare through song that we are free in Jesus Christ.